A home is a place where a person or a family lives, one's own house. And we see that sometimes in the scriptures, the home is used as a family. Like when Joshua said, me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. The house there means his family, the children, the relative, the wife, and himself. Me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So sometimes it's used interchangeably, but at other times we are able to differentiate between a family and a home. We look first of all at Psalm 127, verse 1. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. No matter how good you are, or look at our parents, they brought us up, they did so much, but without God being in it, no matter your effort, that home goes to ruin. We know some families, they are millionaires. By the time they die, their children sell everything and they go back to penury, to nothingness. So it doesn't matter how much you strive. God has to be the one blessing the home. And when they say one with God is a majority. When you have God in your boat, the boat gets to destination. Praise God. So I will redefine again what a family is. Godly home. Where a man and woman live together as husband and wife, having been joined together in holy matrimony. It is God's institution from the beginning of creation. We'll look at Genesis 2:8. Sorry, 2:18. And also from verses 21 to 24. Genesis 2:18, it said, the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. And then from verse 21 to 24 says, so the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, remember, the man was not moving from woman to woman. Neither was he tasting every pudding. What the man did when he trusted God and he slept, God took one of the man's rib and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he has taken out of the man, and he brought her to him. Can we see the differences today? The man did not taste any pudding. He was sleeping. He trusted God. He believed in God. And God created a woman and brought it to him. Then the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. For she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife. And they become one flesh. And that's what the beginning of a family. The beginning of a family is when two people leave their father and mother and become united in the presence of God. As God said, what God himself has joined together, let no man put asunder. Amen. God recognizes the father when there's a strong bond between a man and a woman. Even the devil cannot separate except you allow him. That's why he said, let no woman put asunder. Praise God. Amen. So we are going to look at Matthew 19:4-6, what it says to him. He answered, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, not Steve and Steve, not Alice and Alice, not Felicia and Felicia. When God made them, he made them male and female and said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's why we have come to realize in the deliverance ministry, when you move from Josiah to Jeremiah to everything in this world, you have made yourself one flesh with each and every one of them. That's why when there's a demon operating in any one of them, they all come and operate in you. So you become a depositor or a ground where every demon is now deposited, because you have become one with each and every one of them. Praise the Lord. That is a confusing thing, because the scripture says you and the person becomes one. But in your own case, you have become one with several bodies. Praise God. But there is still deliverance in the Lord. As long as you have confessed and told God you are sorry, you are a brand new creature before God. You are no longer dirty. You are clean by the blood of the Lord. And so when God is saying you become one, you are still one person through the blood of the Lord Jesus. So you become one with your husband, and the two of you become one again before God. So at any point you are in, the most important thing is for you to reconcile with your maker and become one with whoever he makes one with you. Praise God. Amen. So we are talking of a godly home. Godly home. So when God himself has joined you together, nothing can put you asunder. And we are told in Malachi 2, 14 to 15, but you say, why does he? You are asking God, but why does he do that? Because the Lord was witness between you and the wife of your youth, to whom you have been faithless. Though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. So when you become joined to a man, it's a covenant relationship. That's why it says, until death do we pass. The agreement is broken by death. So when you are one with a woman, God is a living witness. And so when any partner becomes unfaithful, God is the partner there. He saw it. No other person might know it. I read from this, from one of the papers. They said it has become so, you know, disheartening to realize that many families, especially the first child, does not belong to the man. They said statistics have proven that several. That's why you see some people, they leave their family back home. Anytime they want to bring, the wife discourages and says, no, we are okay, we are okay. Or the husband is with the children over there. We are okay, we are okay. Why? Because at the point of immigration, you have to go and do DNA tests. And some of those children are not for him. So many things have happened. There are so many things happening. And so people are now saying, no, there's so much happening. There's so much happening. But God is a living witness. So whether you come abroad or you don't come abroad, whether you raise one or you don't, whatever happens, God is a living witness. And he notices every unfaithfulness, no matter how little. If it is just a kiss in the corner, no matter how little, God is a living witness. So when you have told a man, I'm for you, and you are for him, as long as you have agreed in covenant, even before coming before the congregation, when you are unfaithful, God is a witness. Because you have told that person, I will marry you. So even no matter how much we've all deviated, when at the point you realize it and you say, God, I'm sorry, that is the beginning of a family. God, I'm sorry. From today on, I am in it. It's not a 50-50, it's a 100%. It doesn't matter what the other person is bringing into the agreement. It's on your own part. What you bring in is what is important. It doesn't matter the other person. You can't change them. It's two families coming together, and you must be yielded to allow God to do his own work. Praise God. In 2:15, it says, did he not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union? And what was the one God seeking? Godly offspring. So guard yourself in your spirit and let none of you be faithless to the wife of your youth. So the reason why God wants godly family is that you bring godly offspring for God. God is looking for godly children. And that's why he has brought you and the man together. So together you are bringing God, offspring of righteousness. Because it says when you are a Christian, your children are sanctified. And when the appointed time comes, God is able to send an evangelist to evangelize, to bring that child to the path of righteousness. Because that child has been dedicated to God. So it lies on God. It's anything that is dedicated unto me, committed unto me, I will not lose. So God begins, even when you are dead, God's word cannot go. It will start haunting that child and say, you have not accepted me yet because your mother, your father dedicated that child to me. Amen? Amen. So it says, so that you bring up godly offspring. And we look again at other reasons. So we have seen some things why God wants a family. We see the characteristics of a godly home. A godly home is built on love, truth, and perfect will of God. Even if you made a mistake, I married the wrong man, I married the wrong woman. Who said that? God is able. You remember when the Israelites were unfaithful and they wanted to turn back? God said, I can raise children from Moses. But Moses interceded. He said, even out of rock, God can create children for Abraham. In other words, out of your mistaken marriage, God will still make it good and take honor and glory in beautifying your marriage, your family. God is interested in you. The scripture says in the New Testament that by him, through Christ, all families on earth has been named, including that of unbelievers, let alone Christian family. He said, by him, every family on earth has been named. In other words, if you call yourself snow, you call yourself snake, you call yourself stone, you call anything, God has a hand and is able to turn around the wheel of that family. Praise God. So the characteristics of a family, a godly home, love, truth, and perfect will of God. He is in control. Jesus is the Lord, and he said, you must worship me in truth and in spirit. That is in John 4:23. In John 4:23-24, it says, yet a time is coming, and has now come, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshiper the Father seeks. God is a spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. So when you come together to form a home, a godly home, you are going to be truthful with God and with yourself. There's no hiding place. I know some people come to the church to get a woman or to get a man. After then, you become yourself. You start drinking, you start doing things. Because the person in the first instance did not see God's face. But no matter how bad it is, no matter what it is, God is still able to transform that life. But don't go and say, because God wants a transformation, you go and marry an unbeliever. The word of God said, don't be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. For there's no relationship between light and darkness. There's no relationship. So don't say, God will fix it, therefore I go and marry an unbeliever. No, no, no. God will allow you to suffer. He will teach you what it means to disobey. Eventually, we deliver you. But don't go through that route. Instead, let God give you a godly husband. Praise the Lord. Then we go on. So God wants you to worship him in truth and in spirit. In 1 Peter 3:7, he said we should be loving, compassionate, faithful to your wife, to your husband, to yourself. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wife. And treat them with respect as a weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. I know we quote the other one, wives be submissive to your husband all the time. That is wonderful. But the same scripture also says, husband, respect your wife. Be considerate to them. So everything balances in the work of God. There is this, you know, there is always checks and balances. You must, as a husband, respect your wife. And your wife, you wives, be submissive. Initially, it might look difficult, but when it's done once or twice, you discover that it's no longer a submission. The two become the partners. It's not all the time. But when you practice something, when you allow God to rule your home, it's no longer like a master and slave. It's like Christ and his bride. God gives you full rein as a Christian to monitor your life. As you yield to God, what happens? He begins to exalt you. He works miracles. He works signs through you. The same thing with husband and wife. When you allow him to be the head, what happens? You, in the end, is the head of the home. The two of you are driving the boat. It's not this is better or that is better. The two together build this godly home. I will not fail to read Ephesians 5, 22 to 25. Wives, submit yourself to your own husband as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. Somebody is also the head of your husband, Christ himself. So if this man allows Christ to be his head, he's going to rule his home as Christ, not as a macho man. No, because there's no battle in a home. Christ said, I want a godly home with Christ being the head of that home. And everything he has planned works together when both you and the wife are yielded to God. He said, for the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husband in everything. Husband, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and died for her. Husband, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Praise the Lord. Everyone is quiet, eh? So, family is built on love. It's built on truth. The perfect will of God. God works it all out. Every one of us, husband, beloved, compassionate, faithful to your wife. Wife, submit to your husband. Respect your husband. For what you respect makes him even love you more. If you are disgracing him outside, or shut up, this, you are doing all those. Do you expect him to respect you too? So everybody is a mutual respect. In a family, they have to be respect and submission and love. We are going to look at another passage. Here, home is built on respect and mutual understanding. That's, remember, Ephesians 5:21. That is a mutual respect for each other, husband and wife. We are going to look at the children. Most times, because of the disappointment in the home, the women more or less are married to their children. You start doing everything for your children. And by the time the children are grown up and they leave, you are exposed. Most people you are seeing after 30 years or 40 years of marriage, you see them breaking up because their children have all left the home. Now, the true beginning or the true thing in the home is exposed. No love, no respect. Everybody now find their way to go because there's nothing left. You spent all your time for the children. You did not spend your time in building your home. Praise the Lord. So here, children are brought up in fear and admonition of the Lord. We are going to look at Malachi again. Before then, we are going to see the primary family and the church family. I'll quickly read Malachi 2:16. It said, remember, 15 and 16, God is seeking such offspring, godly offspring. And then we look at 1 Peter 3, 8 to 12. It says, finally, all of you, be kind-minded, Be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. What do you inherit when you curse the person that curses you? You inherit curses. You inherit the wind. But when you don't retaliate, when you forgive, marriage is not you do me, I do you. You slap me, I slap you. It's not. No matter how you look at it. When they say women liberation, what are you being liberated from? It's only when you are under bondage that you are liberated. But when the word of God is in you and you allow the word of God to take care, there's a difference. You are not behaving like this marriage is a bondage. No, you are not under bondage. I'm bringing up offspring for the King of Kings. These are the generation for tomorrow. These are the handwriting of God for the next generation. We are sending them message for the next generation. So when you look at it that God has given me a mission, you are going to look at it differently. Praise the Lord. So he said, for whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord are against those who do evil. No matter whether it's to your husband or to your wife, any evil doing, God's eyes are against you. If you seek vengeance, God said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. The same thing, whether marriage or no marriage. No matter who does you evil, God will repay. There was a time, a friend of mine, I don't know what happened to the two of us. You won't believe. We fought. And the little girl there, we didn't know the girl was demonized. And so this, before you know it. But do you realize, by the time we finished all the things we did, the person who hit the other sister was the one in pain. All her body was paining her until she went to apologize to the other sister and said, sister, I'm sorry for hitting you. There was no peace in her. God fought for the other sister. These two people fought, but the one that beat up the other sister was saying, But God made sure her body was paining her until she went to beat the other Christian sister and said, sister, I'm very sorry. Until she said that there was no peace. There was no health in that body. What are we saying in essence? It's God that fights. Whether you are a husband or a wife, you can decide to beat up your wife, but God will beat you back if she does not fight. But if that woman decides to take a knife and to fight you, well, you've already fought for yourself. There's nothing God can do. But when that man slaps you and you go and meet God, God will slap him back. He will go through so much that you can't even say it. What are we saying? We are saying of a godly family. It's not a time to fight. It's not a time to wear fighting gloves. We are going to raise godly children unto the King of Kings. Amen? Amen. So we are still talking of a family. A family is a home. A family is a place. A family is bringing together these children God himself has ordained you to bring up. Before we talk about the children, we are still talking about the characteristics of a godly home. We look at 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 8. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Do you know some people remember the day you first did something to them? Yeah, that was what you did last year. You said so and so about my mother. That's what you did when you did not give me money to buy. Everything, you keep record of all wrongs. There was a man and a woman, they were quarreling. We went for counseling anyway. I went for counseling a lot before I got married. So they shared this issue with us. A man and a woman married, every time they quarreled. So because the fight was so much, the parents came and took the woman home. Every day she would say, your shoes are here, your bag is here. And the parent said, who are you talking to? You know, that was how she was talking to the husband. I'll go and see your food, though. I know I don't care about your food and everything like that. So after some time, the parents took her and dumped her back in her husband's house and said, whoa, that was your own way of loving him. Your shoes are there. Because there's no shoes now. You are still choosing everywhere. You are still saying your paste is here. And then they took her back. That was their own way of relating to each other. Praise God. So it depends on what happens in the individual family. But every one of us, we should learn the balance. Let God be in your boat. With Jesus in your family, there will be a change. So it does not, love does not take count of everything you did wrong. Love allows you to grow. Like what I wrote here, let's finish reading. It says, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. When you are promoted, you should be able to share it at home. Ah, I pass. I have A, I have this. In some families, they don't even say it out. Because one person is jealous. The other person, you know, sometimes some people go home. By the time they come back, they lose their job. Why? Because you gave some money to some people and they say, ah, you only gave me 100 naira. And that is the end of your job. There are several things that happen in other homes. But a family, a home is supposed to be a haven, a place where you can be yourself. A place where you can be yourself. Like one woman was sharing with me, the son, his socks, one is on the table, one everywhere. After some time, the mother said, please leave my house because you are 30. You are no longer a baby. So the son left. Then he left all his socks and everything, a whole basket full. He left it. So one day he came to visit. All the sisters gathered it and put it by the door. When he was leaving, he made sure he left it by the door. So the mother asked her and said, what are you doing? He said, ah, mom, it's so difficult. They are white, so don't think it's a black person. She told me, she said, they asked, why didn't you take your socks? He said, that would dirty my house. I pay for them to clean up. So if I take these socks, it will dirty the whole place. You see, he's not creating an environment in his own home. But mommy's house was being dirtied every day. So, and that's what happened most times. As the children leave, they now live in school, clean the whole place. But when they come to your house, scatter the whole place. But it will take you calling them and say, how do you keep your place? It's still a learning process. A home is a place where you always teach. You evangelize your own home. You teach your own home. Love never fails. In other words, you never give up on your children, on your husband, or your wife. Love never. You hope all things. Love will not give up on the spouse, on the children, or on your relatives. Even when it hurts. Even when they make mistakes and when they fail. Because the world there, they are so unfriendly. Everyone there is out to get you. It's only at home that somebody should be there to accept you the way you are. The way you are. We are going to look at Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you talk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as a symbol on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates. We are talking about family. Here we are talking about parenting. We are talking that if you don't love yourself, when the children are out, you see that the home is going to scatter. But when the two of you love yourself, the children are offshoot from you. You are able to love them from the love the two of you have. From the love the two of you have, you are able to love your children. You are modeling, or you are a model for your children. You can't dump your children in church and then go to Starbucks or whatever it's called to go and drink coffee, to eat, to do this, and then after church you come and pick them up. And then you think the children will continue that way. When they are grown up, what happened? They will also drop their children and go and do the same thing you were doing because you were modeling for them. Your children copy you. There was a man that said he goes to drink. One day, as he was moving along, he saw the son jumping into his footprint. And the man said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Daddy, I'm copying your footprint." And that's when that man stopped. He stopped drinking because of what the son said. Whether you accept it or not, your children, you are the mirror with which your children view the whole earth. Whatever you do, most times they say, "I hate this aspect of my father. I do this." What happened? In future, they behave the same way. Except Christ be formed in them. It's only Christ that can change and deliver a family. That's why you say, "All those things I didn't like my father doing, I'm doing it." Yes, because you kept seeing. And subconsciously, you are following the same pattern. That's what they call familiar spirit. Whether you accept it or not, it is familiar with your family. Praise the Lord. So what happens? Your children copy you. You have to copy the scripture. You have to copy God so that your children can copy the right behavior from you. It is your responsibility. You are the evangelist in your home. You have to correct your children. Do this, do that. You can drop them in church. We can only support that which you have already done. The school cannot bring up your children. The Sunday school cannot bring up your children. We can only build upon the foundation the families have already produced. God is saying, you are a family to bring up godly offspring for God. When you come to the house of God, it is to build upon the foundation the family have already built. Amen?
Amen?
So we owe it to God as a family. That's why he said, "Put it on your forehead. As I'm coming, my head is so broad. What do you see? You see me. Write it there." Your children read you more than every other person. You can pretend the church to be so pious, to be so everything. Your children know all your faults. They know everything about you. So whatever you are, shows in your home. So if your home is not godly and godly following the things of God, it's so obvious they see through you. So it's not a Sunday school. You model. You are a mirror your kids use in viewing life. How do you approach God? If you don't pray, your children will not pray. If there's a problem and you run everywhere except to God, when your children are having problems, they will do the same thing. But if you model your children, when there's a problem, you say, "Let's pray." And you come to God, when your children are having problems or challenges in school, what do? They pray. They don't go stealing. They don't take the arms. They don't settle scores with pa, pa, pa. No, because they see God in you. So your home, God has ordained a home as a training ground for his own offspring. God wants you to bring forth godly offspring. Do children see you pray? Do they see you studying the word? When you are traveling, what do you do? Do you gossip all the way, talk about other people, or do you read the Bible? Do you share biblical principles? You discuss things in the car with your children. He said, when you are going along the way, say it. Let your children see what you do. Let them hear it. You read the Bible, you read Christian stories, you read all in the car as you are walking with a child. Let every day be a learning experience as you go forth. Praise God. Is God your priority in the home? What is your priority? Enemies of godly home or godly and healthy family, promiscuity and unfaithfulness. We said that before. If you are unfaithful to the woman of your choice, that is adultery, fornication, and so many other things. Two, unwillingness to adjust and understand each other. Some people want their own way all the time. It's me. You should change. But God is saying, when the two of you come together, let God be in the midst. And when God is in the midst, what happens? You begin to yield to God. He is yielding to God. You are yielding to God. Together, a home is formed. A family is made. Behave that marriage is like happy hereafter, a fairy tale. Marriage, you should prepare yourself. You are not the same parents. You are not the same family. So you are going to yield some things. He is going to yield something. The two of you is a learning experience. You discover that, you know, you keep reading. Some people were boyfriend and girlfriend. They got married and then they split. Maybe they were boyfriend, girlfriend for 8-10 years. They say, oh, we've been living together for 10 years. Let's get married. They get married. Less than a year, they split. Why do you think it happened? Because for those 10 years, there were no commitments. You had nothing at stake. If you don't like it, you walk away. So there was no commitment. But by the time the two of you are now committed and say, uh-huh, we are in it together, that's when you begin to expose yourself. Because now you are naked for the first time to each other. And when you are naked, I open my own box, you open your own box. You are going to see things that are not right. And when we allow Christ to set in, God is going to begin to work on you and work on me. Together, we will make it. Praise God. So it's a teaching experience. It's a thing. It's not happily hereafter. It's allowing God to be the one leading your boat. Do you know, yesterday we watched a marriage video yesterday. And what they said is, if, you know, when you are flirting or when you have a mistress, you spend so much time with the person. If you can spend only 30 minutes of those times with your own wife, your home will be revived. Your home will not crumble. You need communication. You need time with your family, both with your wife and with your husband. Those stolen waters, they are not the real thing. Because if they are the real thing, that person will be married too. If they are the real one, they will be married. They won't be stealing. Those are stolen waters. Drink from your own well. It is satisfying. Spend time in your well. Spend time with your spouse. Spend time with your children. Spend time with your family. There was, we are still talking about husband, wife, and parenting. Let me read something quickly. It said there's a guy named Joe Rosman who is a psychologist, and he was in front of 450 people in North Carolina, and he was asking them, show me your hands, everybody. He said, show me your hand. In what he said, if you could do one thing that would reduce the stress in your family, would help the discipline problem, help your kids with your homework, and help them have a more enjoyable childhood, all by doing one thing, will you do it? Every family raised their hand. The 450 said, yes, we will do it. Then he went further. 450 hands went up. He said, okay then. Take your kids out of after-school activity. Martial art, music class, sports, whatever it is. Take them out because it will do all of these things. And nobody raised their hand anymore. It said, take them out of martial class. Take them out of this. After school, everybody put down their hands. Not even one. You know why? Because every one of us, we don't want to go through such commitments. You don't want to deal with the noise of these children at home. You don't want to deal with staying with your wife for 4 hours. You don't want to deal with staying with your husband for 4 hours. Instead, you will do overtime. You will do so many other things. You will prefer to do other things rather than to talk and talk and talk. You talk too much. But those are the things that really build up the family. It's those noise that build up the family. Is the talking that build up the family? Is the listening that bring up the family? It's not putting on the TV. It's not listening to this. It's not listening to that. The real thing that build up the family is what we don't want to do. Praise the Lord. Praise God. So you are going to write it in your hand. In your forehead, talk about God. The more you bring God into the family, the more godly your home becomes. The lack of communication or communication breakdown is one of the reasons why we cannot keep a healthy home. Work together. Can two work together unless they be in agreement? The two of you agree to come together. You have to also communicate to remain together. You have to also agree together to build this home. The decision is yours to make. I'm going to make my home to work. It's a decision. It's not your father. It's not your mom. It's not for better we stay, for worse we go. No. You have made a decision. When we are deciding to make that decision, nobody forced you. It's not only a sexual decision. It is more than that. It is a commitment. When you go to your job to work, it's a commitment. You are saying, sometimes it's so difficult, but you still do it because you need the money. The same thing with your family. You have to do things you don't want to do because God is depending on you to bring up a godly family, to be a family where Christ can walk in anytime and say, oh, I need you to go this far. But if there is no trust, there's no unity, God cannot use you. He cannot say, oh, Jacob, go so-and-so place. If your home is burning, you can't go. Because if you go, maybe before you come back, Sisi has gone another place. Praise the Lord. So your home has to be established for God to go far with you. And then we are told, children, I have to say this because it's not for you. We are talking of family. Sex is not a punishment. You all feel your parents are so archaic, they don't know anything, but they are following the scriptures. The scriptures say sex is holy. It's between a man and a woman that have come together in holy matrimony. It should not be before marriage. After marriage, you have it. But even then, when you are married, it's not a punishment too. The day you are angry with your wife or your husband, no more. No. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 2 to 5, you are going to read it at home, that you only come apart for fasting purposes, for seeking God. After that, you have to come together. Amen? Some people are gluttonous. In other words, you eat. You eat your finances, you eat your savings, you eat everything. You are eating your home as well. I know a family, when they were very, very much in money, when network was going on, they never bought a house. They will tell me they fed here, they go to here, they go to here. When we were just starting, what happened? The first thing was to get a house. Because it's your family. But they will tell you all the different eating places. They've eaten everywhere. That is nothing. That's not a home. You have to build your home. Nagging. Some people are so pompous. I remember a family told me, we don't want to visit my sister. The husband is too proud. So they all broke off from the sister because of the proud man. When you go there, you don't want to do anything because before you do, what are you proud for? All you have is given you by God. So you don't need to be. Let God rule your home. Dirtiness. I know most of us, you walk and walk. Keep the home clean. It will invite the family in. Impatience and suspicion. We don't need to do those. Things must work the way God wants it to be. He said, but since sexually immorality, it should not be part of your home. So the time is up, how we conclude. In concluding, he said, to succeed, you need the presence of the Holy Spirit in your home. With God, all things are possible to them that believe. We have spoken so much, and we begin to say, is this possible? Matthew 19:26 says, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So all things are possible to them that believe. That man can change because there's God in him. There is, I have tested it and I've worked it out. Even in pregnancy that time, my husband said, oh, I don't want this child. The child went off. I said, okay. When the child came again, he wanted to go and pray. I said, don't pray because I've already reported you. How? I went to God and I said, God, you were there when we got married. And we said we wanted 3 children. He cannot change. It's an agreement. And that child didn't go off. Because God is there. The same thing is applicable to every situation in the family. You take it to God. You settle it on your knees. There's nothing anybody can do about that. And because they didn't even see you praying, they don't know what you did. You've done it. You settle it. And you claim it. It could be the woman. It could be the man. It's not necessary. The fireproof. Was it not the woman that did it? You can be the one to salvage your home. It's not only the man. It could be the man. It could be you. However, God is depending on you. We are going to look at Joshua 1:8. It said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. For you to have good sources, you have to allow God in. My people perish for lack of knowledge. There are so many books on marriage. There are so many teachings on marriage. You can build your home the way you want it to be. There are so much articles you can read on parenting. A home is supposed to be a dwelling place. A place where Christ can dwell. A place where you can have, you be yourself, be your lazy self, be your very fine self, be your ugly self, whatever it is, be who you are. Amen? Amen. And finally, Joshua 24:15. He said, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. Even there are gods here where you are living. I was surprised one day, I was watching the telly and the person was sacrificing to the trees. A white person. I said to myself, this is what they do in Africa. So it's the same devil everywhere. She was sacrificing to the trees. And not only that, she said she makes sacrifice on behalf of the presidents. Sometimes they exchange family. And you see that some families are into voodoo. And they initiate your own children into what they say. They say they are worshiping culture. They are worshiping this. That is something. So you are to decide who you will serve. Is it the gods of the land? Is it the culture of this land? You are not raising your children. You want the culture, the TV are not to raise your children for you. That's your home. You are not staying with your wife. You want the TV to stay with your wife. That's your home. You are not staying with your husband. You want the TV and other things to train your husband. That's your home. It's your choice. So you are allowing the God of the land to be the deciding factor in your family. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So the decision is yours. Amen? Amen? Amen. Please, we are going to stand up. We are going to pray. We all know the home we are from. We all know the home we are in now. And we all know the home we want to be. We are going to pray. It says the man and the woman were naked. In other words, there's nothing to hide. What is the pain in your home? What is that particular thing you've been crying to God about? We are going to cry together. For one, we chase 1,000. Two, 10,000. Let us pray for our family. We pray for our family daily. You have to pray and not give up. We remember the woman whose child was demonized. The Lord said to her, we cannot give the children's meat to dogs. What did she say? She never gave up. Even the dogs do eat the crumbs from the master's table. But we are all lambs of God. We are all children of God. We are sheep, not dogs. When you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, begin to cry to him about those things in your home that need changes. Is it the children? Is it the husband? Is it the wife? Is it your brothers, your sister? Whatever it is, a home is where a father, mother, children, and relatives do reside. What is the pain at this time? It's time for you to lift it before the King of Kings. Is it the academics? Whatever it is, God can come into that home. He can turn all our mistakes around and make it right. He can transform. He's still in the business of changing lives. The prodigal child was changed. The same God yesterday, today, and forever. The prodigal child could be the husband, could be the wife. It could be anyone. God is still in the business of changing lives. Have we failed our children? Did we not model them right? God is still here. Even right now, he can still change things and make it right. It's never too late with God. For with God, all things are possible to them that believe. If Christ is not in your family, it's never too late. You can accept Christ as Lord and Savior. And through you, your offspring will be sanctified, set apart, and God will catch up with them. Each and every one of them. It's never too late. Is ready to meet every need at this time. We owe it to our family to raise godly children for God. They are our message to the next generation. We have to live it out before our kids. Let them see our passion for God, our love for God. Even when we are gone, they will still come back. They will still come back. In Jesus' name. We are going to sing a song together. With Jesus in the family. Happy, happy home. Happy, happy home. Happy, happy home. With Jesus in the family. Happy, happy home. Oh, happy, happy home. With Jesus in the family. Happy, happy offering. Happy, happy home. Yes, yes, yes. Amen. It's time for offering. And tithes. Tithes and offering, please. You are going to dance. If you don't dance, go back. Dance, bring your offering to the Lord. Can you sing? I didn't hear. Okay. I hear you. Praise the Lord. So for the offering and the tithe. Oh, okay. Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Let us just listen while I read. See, we all don't have the paper. Life is not about marital possessions. Team, life is more than just possessing more things. True life has its focus on God and is free from all controversies. Scripture reading, Luke chapter 12, verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. 14. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of controversies, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Luke 12:13. Someone in the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to give me my share of the inheritance that our father left us. Jesus said to him, Who appointed me to be your judge or to divide your inheritance? He told the people, Be careful to guide yourself from every kind of greed. Life is not about having a lot of material possessions. Relating to the scripture, many of the Jews, recognizing Jesus as a great teacher, considered him to operate in the office of the rabbi. Part of the responsibilities of the rabbi was to act as an arbitrator between two persons who were in disagreement about a matter of the law. With this kind of thinking, a brother approaches Jesus with question,